Welcome back to another episode of Unyielded, Thriving No Matter What. I'm your host, Bobby Kaler. On this podcast, we explore all things related to thriving and flourishing in life. There are three fundamental truths that inform not just my podcast, but my coaching as well. And they are, number one, the future can be changed. You are not stuck and you are not trapped by your predictable future. Wherever you are right now, it's just your present state. It does not determine where you can go in life. Fundamental truth number two, you can change your future. This might be the best news of all. You don't need to be rescued by someone else. You can do that for yourself. In other words, you can be your own hero. And fundamental truth number three, you do not have to wait. Too many people think that they have to have the perfect plan or all the knowledge or all the skills before they can get started. Nothing is further from the truth. I've coached a lot of people in my career. And trust me when I say that you can learn whatever it is that you need to learn along the way. The key is to start. If you've listened to the podcast before, you'll probably know that we find stories and experts who shed light on these different areas so that we can all flourish and thrive. Let's dive in to today's episode. Yesterday is an Emmy Award-winning actor, inspirational speaker, and men's self-mastery coach. He has appeared on hundreds of TV shows, films, commercials, and radio, such as Lucifer, Bad Boys 2, Criminal Minds, General Hospital, and many others. He followed his intuition and walked away from Hollywood at the height of his career because, in his words, he didn't have a hold of himself. Since then, he has shared the stage with thought leaders like Jack Canfield, Lisa Nichols, and Jim Quick, where he spreads his message that when you have you, you have everything. Issei, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Bobby. Blessings to you.
Blessings to you, too. I'm so excited for this. Why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself to the listener a little bit?
Sure. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for having me, and thank you for being here. Thank you for making it to this point in your life, because I know it's a struggle for everybody and life is not easy. It's a challenge and it's gratifying. It's everything. So thank you for being here. And my name is Issei. It's short for Eseleleko. That's my spiritual name. It means he who was born with an internal compass. I'm formerly known as Kiko Ellsworth, the actor. And that's where I've, you know, made a name for myself, lots of TV and film and things like that for the past 20 years. So I am a men's self-mastery coach. I am an inspirational speaker as well as an Emmy Award-winning actor. And my main thing is actually coaching, helping men to show up to be the healthy, happy, whole, divine men that they are. So we can show up in the world and be the man we're supposed to be that will complement you, our sisters, and affect the families, affect our communities, and have that sort of domino effect. So that's who I am. That's what I'm here to do. And that ain't changing.
That's so awesome. I love that. And okay, so you mentioned TV. Got to get this out of the way.
Sure.
You were on Criminal Minds. You were on an episode of Criminal Minds?
Yeah, Criminal Minds. I mean, there was tons of stuff that was on, but yeah, Criminal Minds, Lucifer. I was on General Hospital for several years, Port Charles, film with Bad Boys 2, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, Touch with Kiefer Sutherland and the CSI. Nice. So just like all over the place.
Yeah.
I was a swinger in the entertainment. Loved on this show, loved on that show, and just did it all over the place.
That's fun. And Criminal Minds is always one of my favorites. My husband's always like, you need to back off the Criminal Minds. You're getting too edgy about stuff. So
yeah.
So that's cool. So I was listening to one podcast that you had done where you were a guest and you said that, you know, at a point you decided to kind of walk away from Hollywood. Why was that?
That's a wonderful question. That really had to do with me not having a hold of me. Let me just give you a little insight from my perspective on Hollywood. Hollywood really, it's really amplifies what's really there within you or anyone else, right? So with me, it magnified how much I was not in touch with myself. It really shed a light on all the things that were missing for me, all the things that were where I felt empty, where I was insecure, where I had low self-esteem. And, you know, for a certain period of time, it was like blowing up my ego, thinking that I was, it made me think I was more than what I was or less than what I was. But I never really saw myself truly for what I was, just simply neutrally. So by the time when I left, I was really having like a really deep desire to know myself, to have a hold of myself on the inside. And I didn't have that. I didn't feel like a man. I didn't feel confident. I didn't feel strong. I felt like the longer I was in my career, the more I was falling apart.
Wow.
So I ended up dropping all my agents and managers, and I walked away and I started, you know, doing the soul searching thing. And
yeah,
I ended up reading a book and ended up doing Kundalini yoga and going into meditation and really getting in touch with myself. And that's when I started really making progress with building my inner infrastructure, my inner foundation of myself. And that's where my energy started, you know, becoming whole, and my thoughts and my thinking and my breathing. I started learning how to become still, my intuition. I started hearing that and started operating from that. And, you know, one of the things that I really started learning, someone said to me years ago, was spend just as much time on your inner world as you do on your outer world. And it was flip-flop at that time. I was like 98% spending time on my outer world, making sure that my clothes are right, that I had the car, that I was going out to dinner, that I was on the red carpets. I was doing all these things. And I was totally ignoring my inner world, and I was suffering. So I had to walk away.
Yeah. So much in there to kind of to dive into, you know, because you talked about the infrastructure. You talked about trusting you in your intuition, being still. I love the inner work. When you talk about trusting your intuition, I think that's something that we generally are not very good at. How does someone become better at that?
Yeah, I think one of the first things is, I'll say, knowing the difference between your intuition and your head. That's one of the first things. So like, what's the difference? Because if we can't tell the difference, then we're just knowing, we don't know if we're listening to overthinking or if we're listening to our intuition and our guidance system, right? So, and an easy way to tell the difference between the head and the intuition is the head will come up with tons and tons of reasons for doing something or for not doing something. And that's totally fine. There's a time and place for rationalizations in the head and thinking and things like that. But it'll come up with all these reasons and this and that and this and that and this and that. But then intuition doesn't. The intuition won't give you a reason. And many times the intuition will be in direct opposition to the head. It won't tell you a reason. You'll just get like a gut instinct. You'll get a nudge. You'll get something that's just like, I don't know. I just feel like I should do this. You know, you get a feeling. And when we learn to first hear that feeling or feel the feeling or receive the guidance and learn to start acting on it immediately without hesitation, because that's a practice too, hear it and then acting on it, because you don't want to hear it and then ignore it. That's bad.
That is bad.
That you don't want to do that, because it's like we'll get like a little whooping, you know, if from the universe, it's like, well, you heard the guidance and you ignored it. Oh, it's going to get worse next time, because you have to get the message again, but now it has to be more intense next time.
That's right. It's going to be louder.
It's going to be louder, or it's going to hurt a little more, whatever it takes, right?
Yeah.
So hearing the guidance and then taking action on the guidance immediately, you know, and just continuing to build that muscle of trust in hearing it. And then you create this ebb and flow, like this give and take with, okay, of listening, stopping and being quiet, listening, and then hearing it and then taking action. And then you're still listening for the guidance and then you're taking action. So it becomes a nice ebb and flow of hearing the guidance, taking action for it, and then listening for the next guidance, and then taking action, and it becomes like a nice flow, and then that becomes your guidance.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense too, because the difference between the intuition and your head, because you're right, the head gives us all the reasons, And it's easy for us to doubt the intuition because it's like, well, where's the reason behind it? So do you have an example of a time when you listened to your intuition?
I mean, let me think of one that's where I listened to my intuition. Well, I mean, the one I mentioned actually was a big one. There was no reason to walk away from the entertainment industry. I was at the top of my career. It was getting better, but the feeling, it just wasn't feeling right. I had the money. I had the red carpets. I had, you know, was getting on the shows. I could have gotten on another show. And one specific one with this, actually, I don't know if you remember that TV show Heroes.
Yeah.
Years ago. Remember that show that the kids and the people where everyone had these different superpowers? Well, I was on like a couple episodes of that. And I remember I was really at a crossroads with my relation with my fiance. And I got presented a choice. I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice between they wanted to hire me for more episodes of, you know, being on the show. But yet me and my fiance had a trip that was planned that would really help our relationship because we were like struggling in that area. And I was really trying to learn how to be in relation with her. I was trying to, because I didn't really have that really taught to me or modeled to me growing up, being in a really healthy, balanced, conscious relation with somebody. So I was really trying to work on that and balance the career. So I had to make a choice because I couldn't do both. I couldn't postpone the show. And if I would have put off the trip, that would really kind of show at that time what my priority was. So it was like, am I going to trust? And I knew I had this feeling I needed to choose to just kind of risk the show, but not risk what I was building with her and building within myself and this trust within myself. And so I trusted it and I actually chose to go on the trip. And I ended up losing the show and something that I thought would be something that we think could be that secure or something that is giving us, you know, some sort of gratification, whether it be the money or whether it be like a stable job, something that we think is stable is not really always as stable as we think. And something that we think is not stable, something that's so intangible, is the something that can be so very stable for us when we learn how to actually invest in ourselves, like that self-investment. And I'm so glad that I went on that path of like investing in myself, because that's something that, like what my saying is, once you have you, you have everything. Like once you have you on the inside, once you have a hold of you and your intuition and your inner world, your thoughts, you understand who you are internally, you understand that flow. Like once you have a hold of you, you can do anything from that place. You can create anything. You can navigate any situation, any conversation. And it's just that constant work internally. So yeah, that was definitely one of my hardest decisions back in the day.
I can imagine, but good for you for trusting that and going with it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did too.
That's cool. And then you mentioned that because I wanted to ask you about that. You know, the once you have you, you have everything.
Yeah.
How does one even begin to really go down that path of having you, having yourself?
Well, let me start by saying what it's like not to have you.
Okay.
And what is to have you, in my experience, at least, in my experience, because everyone has a little bit of a different experience. My experience of not having me growing up well into my late 30s was I was always second guessing myself. Mm-hmm. I was always trying so hard to either prove myself or to show something about myself. I was always working so extra, so hard. I was never relaxed. I was always overthinking. I was insecure about the things that I was doing or the things that I was saying. I was never really solid about who I was, my choices or why, or the guidance that I was getting. Because I was looking so much for guidance externally that I didn't really hear the guidance inside of me. So that's a part of my experience on like not having me. And I never felt like a man, so to speak. I never felt confident. It was like a rat race. I was constantly on some sort of rat race within myself and I could never rest. Mm-hmm. I was never relaxed. I could never just be at peace.
Yeah.
And that's torture. That's just torture when you just can't sit still in your body or sit still in your mind. or just sit and be happy being in your own skin. Like I could never be at rest. That's horrible. That was horrible for me.
Yeah.
You know? And so the flip side of having yourself, you know, having a hold of you is the exact opposite of that. It's really, I have an analogy where I say like, when you have you have everything. Like one analogy is I use like, you know, we all have gone to the beach or gone to the side of the pool and we sit on those long recliner chairs and we sunbathe. Like I kind of sum it up in that, like when you have you, it's like you're reclining in one of those chairs and the sun is shining, the wind is blowing, you got your drink right there and you're just laying back. It's like you're reclining in you. Mm-hmm. And you're basking in you. And there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. You can if you want to, but you don't have, you don't feel compelled. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. There is total peace and harmony and balance, relaxation in you just being you, in how you're speaking, how you're walking, talking. You know, everything changes, everything, the cadence and how you speak changes, your tonality changes, your strut, your gait, your walk, everything changes, your style of dressing changes. Like, and it takes, it's like an evolution, right? Mm-hmm. The more you become you, the more you evolve, the more you change, the more your speech, your tone, your dress, your dance, everything, because more of you is allowed to kind of like spill into your life, this life that formerly wasn't really yours. It was like this, we were always, many of us do what we think we should be doing, or we get the job that we think we should doing. You know, when I dropped out of college, I remember the day that I dropped out of college, not saying anyone should drop out. It was just for me. Like when I dropped out, I remembered I was sitting in this class at night. It was like an evening class, 7:15 p.m. And I remember looking at the teacher, I was like, why am I here? And I answered myself, or my higher self answered myself. My higher self said, so if someone, you're here in college, so if someone asks you, what are you doing with your life? You will be able to say, I'm in college. And I was like, oh, that is such BS. Just so I can give an answer?
That's right.
That's why I'm here? And I was out. And so now I'm in the college of life. I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly taking, you know, different types of courses. I'm learning from my daughter and other children. I'm learning from a writing course that I'm in. I'm constantly in learning.
Yeah.
So like once you have you, you know, you literally have such an access to a peace and harmony and balance of yourself and a power within you that just wasn't, in my experience, it just wasn't available to me before. I was just so caught up in fear. So I could talk for days on that. Really, you can tell I won't stop. I can talk for days on that.
but it's good. And I loved that visual you gave, the leaning back in the sun, you know, versus like what you said, the torture of it, you know, never being able to be still, never being at peace. I mean, I've known a lot of people who are like, oh, I can't stand when I'm alone. I can't stand it. And not because they're afraid or something. It's just more like, I can't stand being with myself. That is kind of torture, because how do you get away from yourself? You know? So I love that.
And what you said right there is really key to get to know, like for you and I, we're getting to know each other. We're spending time with each other here, speaking in this podcast, you know, chopping it up, conversing, sitting here. We have to spend time with ourselves to get to know ourselves. Just like I'm getting to know you, I'm spending time with you. If I want to get to know myself and understand my thinking, my heartbeat, how I feel about things, my opinions, my thoughts, my perspective, how I see the world, you know, how I feel about things. It's imperative that we spend solitude, time alone, time in nature, where we don't have our phone, there's nothing to do, we don't have a project to work on, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. Like literally when we can just go out for an evening walk, or we're going to the beach for a few hours on our own, or we're just doing something where we get time by ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's really spot on. We have to spend time getting to know ourselves.
Absolutely.
Love that. When you were talking about something you said earlier, but it reminded me of your masterclass, the Divine Man Masterclass. Do I have that right?
Yeah. That's the Divine Man Masterclass, the Divine Man Coaching Program, and that's the masterclass. Yes.
Okay. So first of all, explain what that is.
Well, the masterclass, it's You know, so I coach men and being their, let's just say their best selves, or bringing out the divine man within them, because there's a divine man in every single human man that's waiting to evolve, to, for us to mature into. It's a maturation process. So, you know, the masterclass is really my journey towards that. It really gives a man, if he's looking to evolve himself into bringing out these attributes of himself, the masterclass really gives him a overview of his journey, the journey that's ahead. Mm-hmm. So it's not, so he's not blindsided by, you know, oh, I didn't know that I was going to have to clean up my relationships and all the messes that I made. Oh, I didn't know that I was going to have to like really reach out for support over here. I didn't know I was going to have to use my, I didn't know I would have to start surrounding myself with, you know, a positive supportive tribe and really start to cultivate the people that are around me so I can be uplifted and supported when needed. It just, it gives a man the, like a man or a boy, the overview on the road that he's going to travel and things to look for and things to put him, so he can start to prime his mind to understand like how to move and how to navigate these next, you know, several years of his life, because it's an ongoing process. It's just an evolutionary process. For me, it never stops. You just get to a point where you get, you know, you get your sea legs under you and it becomes fun and you start to enjoy the process. You know, this, the amount of pain and struggle and falling down minimizes, and you're having a lot more fun, and you just say, I know how to navigate this area now. So this masterclass is about like a 35-minute class where I actually take them through the like a PowerPoint presentation, and also I'm talking on the video as well too, and explaining this process. And it's great for from when someone takes that to go in and take notes and like really understand what they're doing and start to like understand the process, so they can really start to ingest and let these ideas marinate and be able to actually apply them to their lives.
Yeah, I love that, kind of the blueprint or a little bit. Because here's the thing, people are often derailed when things surprise them. And it sounds like this would be a great way to maybe not be so surprised by some of the things that might come up along the journey.
Yeah, that's absolutely it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you're going to get surprised. Like, I'm not saying you're not going to get surprised. And these things, they happen out of order. You know,
that's right.
I mean, life will throw curveballs no matter what. This will just kind of give you definitely an idea on how to navigate the curveballs that will come, because we all have different curveballs for ourselves, for sure.
Never going to avoid those. A similar note, I heard one of your interviews, and you were talking about mistakes, and you said that every mistake is a spiritual lesson. Absolutely. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
Oh, yeah. I love cleaning up all my mistakes. I've cleaned up all my mistakes, and that's a different aspect of it, because I've learned to see them for what they truly, truly are. You know, usually we get caught up in the mistake itself. It's like, oh man, like I didn't do great didn't come off good by anger with that person. I really yelled at that person, and we kind of shun away or we shy away from, you know, those situations. And we kind of put these things in the back of our little closet, and we don't want to like address them because we're either embarrassed or we're shameful of our behavior, things like that. And we're missing out. Like these things happen, these challenging situations happen strictly from my experience of what I learned and the teachings that I've learned. They happen strictly because they're to teach us something.
Yeah.
They're to actually deliver a teaching. Now, a teaching is not going to come in an ice cream cone. It's not going to come necessarily.
Be nice.
It's every now and again, but like the deepest teachings come in situations of challenge.
That's
where
right.
It confronts us. I mean, it's just like when you're boxing. You're not going to become a great boxer shadow boxing the rest of your life. I mean, it would be nice, I guess, but like you need an opponent. We need resistance. We need a challenge. And so in the same way, to grow spiritually, life presents itself with certain situations and circumstances that challenge us to exercise our boundaries or to use our voice, or to stand up for ourselves, or to open our hearts, or to have more compassion, or to have patience. Like situations are that we create for ourselves so that we can overcome these situations, so that we can exercise and demonstrate more patience, more love, And so situations of challenge happen so we can actually do that. Sometimes we get caught up in the situation itself and we miss out on the spiritual lesson that's actually embedded in there. It's there. It's sneakily embedded in there, you know, but when we can actually look closer and like manage the emotions around like the shame with the situation and really look for what it truly, truly is, then we'll actually get the wisdom that's there for us.
Yeah. And I completely agree. And I actually just wrote a post today about it, about how learning comes disguised as challenge, because it does. That's when we learn. And I remember this was years ago. I was in my early 20s and I was going through a really, really challenging time. And I was talking to the father of one of my friends, and he was just an amazing man. And he said, right now, you don't have to know why the challenge is happening. Just trust that it's supposed to reveal something new to your soul. Like it's going to help you grow in some meaningful way. And I've always remembered that because I think that's true. I really do. Now, you said just a minute ago, you said something about, you know, we keep it in the closet. We keep it buried in the closet. That's a great, great picture there. And then you said, you know, because of maybe sometimes the shame that we have. So let's say someone is kind of struggling with that. Any tips on how to set aside that guilt or shame or so they can deal with it?
Yeah. You know, it starts with also us understanding and shifting our perspective on these types of situations, right? Like these like with what the gentleman said with you earlier about that there's with those challenges that there's embedded some sort of, you know, spiritual gift or awakening in that. You know, start to understand, because what happens is we relate to these situations in a particular way and our nervous system is trained in a certain way. So, you know, we think about this situation in our mind and then fear comes up automatically and then that clamps us down and we can't move. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, one of the first things that we want to do is we want to start to retrain that wiring, Right. And so one of the exercises that I do when I work with men is to have, you know, look at three past situations that we have been shameful about or something that we beat ourselves about. And we write a little bit about those situations. So say, for example, you know, make up a situation. So say, for example, let's say that when I was younger, I was a bully. Let's just say I was a bully. And that's something that I like to talk about because it makes me feel less than. And it makes me feel like people don't like me and things like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like an outcast and being made fun of, you know, right? And so maybe I would get stuck in that. But then going back and like revisiting that sort of situation and really looking at what was really there, I may look at, okay, this is how I usually felt. But if I look deeper into that situation, say, okay, what did I learn spiritually there? What adjustments did I make? You know, because I may have made some adjustments that I'm not aware of. I may have made some adjustments, say, for example, because I got bullied, I learned martial arts. I wanted to go learn martial arts and I was really angry. And then I started teaching and that led to this. And from that situation, I learned personal boundaries, or I learned how to use my voice. I learned to stand up for myself. And now I'm an advocate for other people. Mm-hmm. There's so many situations like that where when we start to learn how to string them together, we understand that, wow, this wasn't really even about being bullied. This was about, that was just a tool for me to learn how to use my voice so I could actually be an advocate for the people to teach them how to use their voice.
Yeah.
Like we need some sort of situation as a catalyst for the spiritual lesson. There has to be some sort of situation. So when we learn to look at certain situations in our lives, and we do like a little journaling exercise, like take 10 minutes to like journal, right? And really go deep, like really go deep where, you know, you may be in nature, you may just be in some place where you're undistracted and you really look like at an x-ray, look at these situations and convert them. It's like, what did I really learn? What did I soulfully learn? Like if you think about like, you know, the lesson you may have learned when you look back over the course of your life. You know, if you look back, say, okay, if I'm done with this life and I'm looking back at that situation from a higher place, what did I really learn as my angelic self is looking back over there, and really be able to see with like a clearer perspective, a higher perspective, a divine perspective on what we learned. And then we'll start to relate to those situations differently. And then when those situations come up, they won't get us stuck. and the reprogramming, because it has to be a reprogramming process. And the more work that we put in doing that sort of thing, whether it be more journaling, more speaking about it, more sharing about it, more supporting other people with that, more even talking to yourself out loud about, no, this situation is really more about that. What, there's so many programming to do to reprogram these old ways where we get stuck, the more we'll be able to be empowered in those types of situations and just retrain that programming. You know, we're all retraining our nervous system from this unproductive programming, let's just say, into programming that's more productive and conducive for us so we can fulfill our mission here. That's important.
And so what I'm hearing there, it's the kind of the perspective, like a paradigm, that there is a lesson, there is growth, and then doing the work to harvest that, you know, so that you can actually say, this is what I learned. So shifting gears a little bit, because there's something I wanted to make sure I asked you about. It was, we were kind of kicking it around before we started recording, and that was men and women and really starting to trust each other a little bit more. And so do you want to talk about that a little bit?
So honored to speak about that. I mean, that's really one of the main reasons why I'm here on this planet, why I was born, is to, in short, create peace and harmony and balance between us again, because our connection as the yin and yang, let's just say the yin yang, because everyone's familiar with that. And I fully know in my own experience that we are that. It's not about the yin. It's not about the yang. It's about the yin and the yang together. And we make a complete circle, which is balance, and we can ascend when we're together. And we've been fractured, and men have been pitted against women, and women have been pitted against men. And you know, we've, in a sense, gone so far down this path of almost being enemies, and we're not, and we're not enemies. But just like I explained earlier, we have to retrain ourselves how to trust each other again, and, you know, how to understand ourselves as natural co-creative beings. Like, we're naturally the best creators. Like, we're the highest creators on this planet, right? Like, if a man and the woman don't co-create together, one of the things that we create is a child. That actually allows for the human race to actually create everything else, you know? And, but that primal creation is from the man and the woman. It's so life can exist here on this planet. So experiences can exist on this planet. So challenges, so spiritual growth can exist on this planet. And us getting along at such a core level is so essential. You know, me being able to respect you, to love you, to protect you, and this go back and forth, and the same from you to me as brother and sister. Now, it's very key, because when we do teachings like this too, or we just did a weekend course with like a couples retreat and teaching them how to come together, it's before the romance. It's before the romance, let's just say, is like, you know, third or fourth or fifth or something like that. But what I'm talking about, this is like core. This is like first, you know, understanding who we are as a co-creative dynamic, as a co-creative energy. I'm the opposite of your energy on this side. You're the opposite of my energy on this side. But together, we are whole and complete. And I like to kind of sum it up with one statement that I say is like, I protect you from the outside in, but you protect me from the inside out. And when we're together, we have complete and total protection and balance and harmony. We become invincible creators of love and truth, or whatever you want to, you know, the highest good for this planet. So really getting down to those basics, and really us as men and women learning how to relate in that way where we respect and protect and love each other at an agape, at a brother sister level, is so, so key. And that's where I see, you know, a lot of the work that I do in this world, and a lot of my co-creators as well, is there's a lot of rebalancing that's happening in the world, learning how to trust a man that was untrustworthy for so long, his entire life, learning how to look at a woman and to accept her, not only her beauty, but her creative beauty, her creative power, who she is, because nothing would happen if we don't come through the creative beauty and power of the womb of a woman. And that needs to be acknowledged and honored and protected and respected at a core level, you know, the divine mother, you know, and really bringing back into harmony the divine mother and the divine father, like, okay, this is, we have to protect and respect, you know, this dynamic, and we have to, you know, we have to fight for it. We get to do that. We get to do that. So yeah, definitely want to share and speak on that, because I think that that's really important in bringing our entire world back into balance.
Yeah. So much of what you say, it seems like it comes back to that harmony, whether that's harmony within ourselves, harmony in our relationships, harmony, men and women, that's it just kind of stands out to me a little bit. So I love that. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your different, your programs, what you've got going on, how people can connect with you, that type of thing?
Sure. Absolutely. You know, right now I have the Divine Man coaching program, and I do one-on-one coaching right now through the end of this year and through the summer of next year. And then the summer of next year, we're going to be launching the group coaching for men as well. And so that's what we have, the private coaching and then the group coaching. And then we have also, I have other brothers that I work with that are doing coaching as well too, that serve as different dynamics. So one of those, and you can find this on my social, which I'll share later on as well, but we do also do men's retreats.
Ooh, where, nice.
Yeah, we do these intensives. So it's different aspects of helping brothers to evolve into their natural, you know, spiritual higher selves. So we have these weekend retreats that are Friday, Saturday, culminate on a Sunday, where men can actually go and be with other men, other brothers that are doing the work, you know, 30 or 40 other men over the weekend. And we do so many things, like, you know, we do ice baths, we do breath work, we do yoga, we do men that are talking about our issues, our problems, sharing. It's all healthy food, and most of it's vegetarian or vegan. So there's like a cleaner diet. There's, you know, challenges. We do hiking. We do all these different things to support one another and surround ourselves with positivity. So yeah, there's, and that's one of my other partner brothers, because it's not about me or them. It's about us, like, coming together as a tribe again and supporting each other, you know, that sort of mentality, and being able to, you know, support in areas where someone may be weaker, and then where the other person can make up. So, but yeah, that's all located, whether it be my coaching or the men's retreat that's coming up. We have one that's coming up December 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, I believe. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Joshua Tree. So that's the next one coming up as well, too. So if someone is interested in either coming to the retreat for a great in-person intensive, highly recommend it. I will be there as well. And then if they want the ongoing support, like, I do private coaching. Typically, the best private coaching program is about like a year long. There are shorter ones, like I can do 3 months or 6 months, but typically it takes a year for any lasting and permanent change for someone to be able to really anchor themselves in this really new identity, this higher identity that's available within all of us. So whether it be like an intensive or the private coaching, and the next year, the group coaching, like, we're really have an ecosystem of men really across the world. Cause I have brothers in Australia as well too. And we have it here, and then in Austin in Texas, and then also in Chicago, where this collective of men that are holding a space for other men to help ourselves to evolve, so we can show up for you, our sisters, for our children, for our set, first for ourselves, and then so we can show up for you, our sisters, our children, our families, our communities, so that can actually have that sort of butterfly effect across the world. So, and then my social, where you can find all that stuff, on Instagram or on TikTok, my social is A Divine Man. A Divine Man is the handle. And, but if you want to go directly to the coaching website, it's thedivinemancoaching.com, thedivinemancoaching.com.
Nice. And I'll make sure I put all those links in the show notes so that people, it's easier to find. And that sounds wonderful. It sounds like you're doing absolutely amazing work. So thank you for that. Anything else you want to share before we wrap up?
You know, I would like to share for our brothers and sisters that are listening that it really depends on us, how we see ourselves. Right. It really does start with ourselves and understanding that we're not just these human bodies. Far, far from it. We are these elegant, you know, high vibrational, beautiful, divine beings that reside currently in these human vehicles. right? But understanding that we are not stuck in our human emotions. We're not stuck in doing things in a, you know, that may be, you know, through anger or short. There is a higher version of ourselves that's available that is more true to who we truly are. And that's for everybody, you know, but it does take work. It does take work and you want to do the work. I just want to, if you haven't acknowledge that there is a higher version of yourself that's waiting to literally lead every area of your life and bless every area of your life, be it financially, be it socially, be it with your career or your other endeavors or your hobbies, or even dancing on the dance floor or being a mother or a child. There's a higher version of yourself that is waiting to be excavated and unleashed that will guide your way and just bless every area. So that's what I want to say. I love you and wishing you all peace and joy and divine protection from your brother Issei. I love you.
That is perfect. What a wonderful way to end. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Issei and that you had a lot of takeaways. I know that I did. Here are some of the things that really stood out to me. Number one, intuition versus our head. Our head likes to come up with lots and lots of reasons, and our intuition often doesn't give us a reason, but we know it to be truth. That's why it can be tougher to trust our intuition, though, but we still need to find the courage to listen to it. And I also liked what Issei said, where it's not enough to hear it, you also have to act on it. Number two, we know when we are out of congruence on the inside. Issei talked about it as not having a hold of himself, a hold of me. It's so easy for us to want to rush past that feeling or hide it by adding in more busyness, more activities, but that won't make it go away. And that leads to number three. You got to spend time getting to know yourself, just as you would a new person that comes into your life. And to get to know yourself, that takes the quiet and the stillness. We have to unplug, slow down, and tune in to ourselves. If you found value in this episode, and I'm sure that you did, I hope that you'll share it with a friend or a loved one and help share this message. I so appreciate all of you for listening. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.